Okay, good evening, everyone. It's 6 o'clock, and I'm going to call to order the Town Discovery Bay Park and Rec special board meeting. Hey, roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. For any members of the public, this is your opportunity to address the board. You have 3 minutes to state what you'd like to chat with us. Typically, we don't respond, but are there any members of the public on the line? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comments and we'll go to discussion item number one.
Good evening, Park and Rec Committee. This matter involves the sidescape area to the pool. The pool has taken a lengthy amount of time to come to where it is today. And during that period, the surrounding lawn area around the pool has been basically destroyed. And we knew from the beginning, as we progressed, that we were going to have to replace the lawn. And the lawn is within our original budget. We have monies to replace the lawn, in either by sod or by seed. And as staff was discussing doing this, we felt that this may be an opportunity for the board to consider other potential ideas for what could surround the pool, and that we needed to get this decided upon now if we were going to make any changes, and then see what kind of funding would exist to try to pay for those additional costs. So I'm going to bring our landscape manager up, Bill Engelman, to talk to you about some of the alternatives.
Good evening.
Bill.
Hello.
So as Mike said, the landscape surrounding the pool deck needs attention before we can open it, and staff was asked to bring before you some ideas for discussion. So before we start, the schematics you see show three scenarios regarding grass, concrete, and composite decking contained only within the current fencing area. But again, there could be many other ideas and project scale brought forth through this discussion. This could be an opportunity to bring something more grand while keeping in mind the potential for building additions and grounds alterations in the future. So before you have the four sheets. Page one is summarizing the square footage and cost for materials and installation. Page two will give you an idea on costs if we decided to concrete only the entirety of the enclosed fence area. Page three is a scenario if we decided grass only. And page four is a scenario if we used a combination of materials, and the location of those materials was based on ease of maintenance and potential use. And again, the hidden fourth option, do we expand or constrict the project scope? And that's up for discussion.
Questions.
Questions.
Well, certainly there's several different options to consider, and I guess maybe just so I could get some mental clarity, and maybe I'll have to have Monica come up. I'd just like to get an understanding of how much use pre-COVID the pool really had, and how many people were on any given time were utilizing the pool.
Yeah.
And maybe that might help us kind of think about.
And that's a great idea. Do we, does form follow function or function follow form, right?
So right.
If we build this and it's too much, are we not benefiting the town? So
I would, to add on to that too, just like when you're talking about how much it was used, but also like how hard or easy it is to take care of the options that have been given to us.
Well, I'll speak
from
that real quick.
A staff perspective.
Yeah, in terms of maintenance, obviously concrete is the easiest.
Okay.
Grass does have some issues, but it's not a. The situation is having grass near the pool water.
Yeah.
That's my concern. And the composite decking, there is some maintenance, although it is longer term, but the easiest one is concrete.
And if we were to do grass, staff's recommending that it be the artificial turf. Because you don't have to mow it, you don't have to irrigate it, and the debris is not going to get into the pool from its maintenance, and it will always stay green, uniform.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Do you have a specific question, or do you want me to just kind of start giving you historically what it's been?
I mean, because I never really go over there during the daytime, so I don't know how many people are there. Is there 50 people utilizing the pool, or 3 people?
So what we would have, it's kind of broken down, like we have it get used for swim lessons. You don't really take that into consideration, because when you do something like that and kids are learning, parents aren't allowed on the pool deck. You have to wait off. So it wouldn't be utilized for that. Mm-hmm. Primarily, it would be for recreational swimming, or if we do any kind of swim events in the evening. We've done like a rocket music night before. We've done things like that. On an average, kind of over the years, we literally have had some days where we have a handful of people all day. Probably the most we've ever had out there at any given time is about 50 people. It's not been consistent, but definitely weather depends, whether people are on vacation, you know, just a variety of things. And we've not ever really been able to pinpoint a pattern. You know, some days it's been a holiday. We would typically be open on the major Memorial, 4th of July, and we'd be surprised, staff so many people, and then a handful of people come.
Do we utilize the area for birthday parties or anything like that in addition to just regular swim times?
People can come in and use it. Because it's recreation, if you want to rent it, if you wanted to come with your family and rent the whole thing, we've got a special fee for that.
Okay.
We've never allowed people to just come and reserve the whole spot because we feel that's not fair to other people that come and just put up shade after shade after shade and chairs and that kind of thing. So it's never been reservable just because it's a community public pool.
Yeah.
So just typically, how's the process work? If I wanted to go use the pool, do I come here first and I check in and pay a fee?
You come in here. We have, you know, part-time employees sitting at the front desk. Pay your fee, get your wristband, go through, you know, any rules that, you can't bring this in, you know, styrofoam glass. You know, we have a whole list of things. They can use it from the time we're open to close. It would normally typically close between 3 and 3:30. No matter what, for chemical checks, we have all that posted because you have to do a midpoint chem check. And it's a point for everyone to kind of get out, go potty, rest, that kind of thing. They would come in and then head out that side door there and go on out to the pool.
In the past, did we currently allow for pop-ups to be inside the pool area? Like if a shade structure?
We would let someone bring in one. We'd really monitor that, or like a beach-type small umbrella. But trying to really, again, and we just let people know, you know, please, we ask that you be considerate of those around you. So you couldn't come in and bring, you know, 3 of them to kind of save a spot.
And do we have chairs and lounge chairs and stuff like that, or are they bringing their own stuff in?
Both. But we have lounge chairs that we put out on the pool deck that are being stored currently. But folks are allowed to definitely bring in if they have a folding chair, that kind of thing.
What are the proposed hours for this one?
For
to be open
swim?
For the public. Yeah,
rec swim. We were always closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So during the week, and again, this is summertime, so still, my kids have been out for so long, I'm trying to remember what. And we've been closed for a while. While it's school, so basically when school gets out in June till end of July, so for 2 months, it's open Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the weekends. And the hours for rec swim were 1 to 6, because we would have swim lessons before that and in the evening. Okay. So rec swim is about 1 to 6.
So we're really only open 4 to 5 days a week.
5 days a week.
Okay.
If we did the sod route, would we still allow for pop-ups to be? I don't know if there's issues if we put sod, like, you know, people to post the.
Well, I mean, when you do that, you do take the risk of. I would think Bill and Bill could probably be tag team a lot, but you're always going to take the risk. I would think of if you stake them down, ripping chunks of grass. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah. So obviously, sod is a good.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean the sod. I meant the AstroTurf.
Oh.
So yeah, I misspoke.
So okay, what's the question here?
If we went the artificial. Right. Would that change the? Allowing people to utilize pop-ups and stuff because you'd have to post into the.
So pop-ups just sit on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're going to stake it down.
Yeah.
Because they have the stakes.
No staking would be allowed.
No staking. Are there any? I'm sorry. Is there any negatives with the artificial turf?
The only negative, I think, it does heat up a little bit more than concrete or obviously turf. That would be the only downside.
But I'd imagine someone would put a beach towel down anyways, right?
Or a chair.
Or a chair.
Yeah, a chair.
A chair. Yeah.
I like the idea of the color and not having you guys to go in there and blowing in.
So, to give you a little background, to take care of the turf inside the fenced area, approximately is running $7,500 a year. So you can do the math on.
How much would it cost to do sod?
So the sod costs.
To maintain it.
So the installation cost of the sod is around $26,000.
And then the $7,500 a year.
And then $7,500 a year.
So it's $7,500 a year whether it's sod or artificial turf.
Oh no, artificial much easier to maintain.
Okay.
Almost artificial and concrete minimal maintenance fees.
Okay. And in theory, if we were at some point to decide to expand or do something else, could we reuse that artificial turf? Or add on to that artificial turf?
Definitely
or
add on, and I don't, you know, I think over many years it will fade, so you have a little differing color.
Okay.
Everything fades.
Everything fades.
Or grows weeds, right?
Is there a combination staff is kind of shooting for?
You want to speak?
Sure. One of the thoughts we had is if you look at, actually it'll be probably most helpful if you look at your page one. One of the ideas we tossed around was taking the section that's 1,500 square feet and the 900 square feet and the 800 across the way and doing concrete. While doing that, allowing for enough decking and pre-drilling in holes that can be capped so that we could put umbrellas in there strategically. So some people love the sun, some don't. So it's not something permanent. So you can kind of spread out and we can really have some flexibility with the shade sun. Maybe those smaller sections that are the 400 square feet, doing the artificial turf to give it some kind of color and dimension. And same with the other 900 across the way, or that could be concrete as well. Just those were some ideas that we were tossing around. Same kind of like the idea of having that green. I have some samples as well that you know can be viewed at a later time. But that was one idea. But you may both come up with three different on your own.
Well, I'm just trying to mentally imagine people utilizing it and how they would best utilize it and what would make them happy. So,
so it sounds like we're looking at artificial turf, grass, and concrete and kind of not going the composite decking route.
I wouldn't necessarily say that. The composite decking is very expensive, obviously, compared to other solutions.
I mean, I think the compost decking is awesome, but I think it's really expensive.
So it's quite a bit more than the other options, but beautiful to look at.
I like the idea of having some artificial turf on there, maybe mixed with some concrete. I think probably a good portion of people that are going to use them, families probably, and I just think like having somewhere that's kind of maybe a little bit softer and easier to put towels and stuff like that on would be beneficial.
You can even do, you know, the opposite. If you like that idea, do quite the opposite. Put where the 1,500 square foot is, do the artificial turf.
Yeah.
And then still maybe across the way with the, and just for, you know, one of the 900s, just to give it some, not so uniform, kind of let it flow, different colors in different areas.
So, and then I have another question. On, so the 400 square foot area, is there any opposition to bringing the fence in to like kind of cut that portion off so we don't have to even deal with it? And it becomes part of the parkway or pathway?
No, we've actually talked about that for several years now, offline, just kind of the idea of bringing that fence line in to allow for the walkway to be wider. But again, that's one idea. We could also, there's rocks and shrubs to the right of that up against the building. We could also take that out and extend it that way if we didn't want to lessen the footprint of the actual interior of the pool fencing. So there's definitely different ideas.
I think that's a good question, because is that 400 square feet actually usable for a pool?
It's not usable. And I think if we straighten the fence out, we could save whatever the cost of that, whatever solution that we go with. I think the fence moving is going to be a lot cheaper than the cost of... So it needs to be dealt with, that path area, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. But at what point do you stop it?
Well,
do you know what I mean? Because it continues, you know, it's one continuous all the way around. It gets wider in the back, but that's just something else since we're, you know, talking to consider. At what point? Do you know what I mean by that?
Well, I think you would stop it where it
wherever it starts to...
Where it meets up with the wider section, because it's so narrow the whole way. And it's cracked. I mean, it's pretty much cracked the whole way, too.
It's
so,
very narrow.
So.
Yeah, but I think... I mean, I tend to agree with you, Monica. Where do you stop? Because that... Are we going to expand that? And then what about doing all the other parts around it that also need maintenance?
Right.
So maybe I should have opened that Pandora's box.
I think it's good to talk about.
But I think, you know, immediately we need to deal with the pool stuff.
Yeah, no. I'll just say, I think the incremental cost, whatever solution, if we added the pathway, is going to be minimal in the scheme of things. I like the idea, personally. I like having the artificial turf. You know, if it's warmer, it's just warmer, but at least it brings color and it's less maintenance.
So I think if we do artificial turf and only concrete, those two, I think Monica's selection of the locations is probably best.
And which one is that on the map?
That would be artificial here.
Where?
You might want to consider artificial for everything. It's a cheaper solution than the concrete.
I kind of agree
and
with that.
It's all green.
I kind of agree with that.
So what's the advantage of having concrete somewhere? There may be an advantage, but are the people going to lay their towels down on the concrete, or are they going to lay their towels down on artificial turf? Where that space we want to be able to utilize by the people attending.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How often does artificial turf need to be replaced? Does it last 20 years?
It's a good question.
About the same as turf was, and that's about 15 to 20 years.
So it's quite a long lifespan.
It is. That's the other thing that we've kind of tossed around as well, is that concrete, again, depending on kind of what angle we want to go, but considering everything, is that concrete is almost forever. So very little, almost no maintenance. Whereas the artificial turf, that is not going to be forever. There will be a cost. It is quite a bit down the road. There's, I think, something like a 15-year warranty, depending on the quality you get.
And I'm sorry, did you say there's going to be tables and benches and stuff inside there?
We've never had tables in there. Those are outside, mm-hmm. But chaise lounges or lounge chairs we have in there, yeah.
I just think
folks bring those, like, beach chairs,
yeah.
Stuff like that.
I just think we're spending a lot of money to like revamp our entire pool, and I think there needs to be a little bit of some aesthetic that goes along with that.
Beautification.
Agreed. And there's, I think, concrete doesn't necessarily give you that.
Agreed.
Where artificial turf kind of is the best of both worlds. It gives you a little bit of longevity, ease of use, but you have some of that aesthetic that is welcoming and green for people to come use it.
And we could definitely look closer.
No, I was just going to add the other thing about concrete.
It's slippery when it's wet.
Slips, are we going to pebble it? And then it cracks, and are the cracks going to lift? And what's that going to look like? So concrete's not perfect either.
No.
I guess I was just trying, do you envision any reason at all to have a concrete section?
No, because we actually do still have the concrete. Can you tell by this, really? So on page 2, see where the water and the coping line is?
Mm-hmm.
That is still going to be concrete. So we are going to have concrete there. Does that make sense, Ashley?
I know.
Page 3 is where all the concrete is going to be in relation to
the grass and sod and stuff.
And in previous,
artificial, whatever.
I think that's where you had the chairs, right? The lounge chasers and such. On that
right.
Path.
And then
so
people would just, people would move them onto the grass as well.
Yeah.
But yes, we will actually already have what's currently there as concrete.
What's the timing of artificial turf? How long does it take? Is there any delays in getting it at this point? Is it going to add any extensions to what we're doing?
So it would be the same kind of installation procedure as probably sod. So probably a 4-week installation time. But you can walk on it right away.
Okay.
So in terms of getting it.
Really
this,
takes 4 weeks to install turf?
Well, yes, because there's a whole...
They have to rip everything off. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. They still have to dig down.
That's my impatience. What do you mean you can't do it in 2 days?
Fill it in with the base and the sand. And then
Well, we also have the growth period, whether we do sod or whether we do seed or sod. There's a certain amount of period where even when it's there, we have to wait or can't
no can step on
the
it.
Roots take.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a lot of sprinklers we could disconnect, too.
A what?
Sprinklers.
Sprinklers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we could. Saving water.
Which would probably be good for our overall water efficiency plan.
Absolutely.
I like the idea. I like the idea of going the sod route. The artificial turf, right?
Yeah. I
think it's a great solution. And
ditto.
Price point.
So do we need to make a motion?
No, because I think it has to go to...
That's good finance. We probably have to make a motion.
We will say that by consensus, the recommendation of the Park and Rec Committee is to go with all artificial turf, and then we'll explain the rationale why, and then we'll ask the Finance Committee to come up with a way to pay for it.
There still are some concrete fixes that need to take place, though.
Yeah, and I think that if we, and I'm going to ask Bill this, that if we take the money we would have used for replacing the grass and use that money to make sure that any of the chipped areas or the areas surrounding what the pool company is going to put in needs some refreshing or removal and replacement, that we could use that money for that.
Yeah, Bill and I need to talk about that. The last budget that I had handy, the landscaping irrigation unit had $6,000 in it. So we'll need to definitely get something out there. Yeah. Now this is a little dated. I have to refresh to the last one.
Yeah, it does.
At, so I don't want to comment because we may update.
Well, to me, I think that number should be included and brought to the finance department. So one that asks for the money at once instead of
agree.
I don't disagree with that.
So we're looking at artificial turf installation costs plus
fixing concrete around.
Maintaining what's out there.
Plus fixing any concrete we need.
Okay.
Around the whole thing or just around the pool area?
Well, they're going to, wherever. they're going to put concrete decking around the pool where they dug up. Then we'll have to evaluate what else needs to be repaired or replaced.
Okay.
And please, when Monica and you guys get together and walk the premises,
call us.
Try to be more inclusive as possible. I mean, you know,
it helps us to understand what your thought process is and what you need.
And I think it's easier to ask the board once than come back later and say, okay, now let's fix this area that we could have just done at the same time.
So, when you are walking to the pool from the ADA concrete path, are you both with me with that?
No.
You talking about the gap right there where there's 3 feet?
There is a gap that would not take much, so I'm
there
hoping
you go.
This is what you're meaning.
That's exactly what I'm meaning.
It would be fantastic to just extend that, because right now when you go to, it's ADA compliant, but when you're going to that ADA gate, it then has about a 3 foot gap of uneven dirt and then more concrete decking. So while we're doing this, it would be, if we have to fix things, just to fill that in would be very beneficial. And I'd be happy to show you if you want to take a look later at what I'm referring to.
Okay.
But just to go with what you were saying about, this is what you mean, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I still would love if you guys adjusted the fence and expanded that. I just think that's the time to do it while the relevant crews are here.
I think we can get some costs. So
yeah.
You got to bring the fence company in. And...
I think we got to find them. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Okay, hearing none.
Can I just repeat what I think we heard?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not all confused.
For the record, that as far as the Skyscape, what we want to look at is replace it. The recommendation is to replace that all with artificial turf, and then to examine the areas within the fence perimeter that may need additional concrete work.
Or slightly outside the fence perimeter.
I was going to get...
Okay, sorry.
Inside the perimeter, the concrete work that may need to be done. Evaluate that, get a potential cost for that. Look at moving the fence on the west side of the pool to allow a greater width of pathway between the community center building and the perimeter fence, and also look at cementing that area for better wheelchair ADA
access.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect, good.
But actually, now that you triggered something,
okay.
Lighting. Is there any plan for lighting? Do we need lighting? I mean, there's existing
lighting
there, but
there?
They're all broken.
Well, there is no nighttime swim. And if that's something, should that be something we want to include in this, or is this something we want to deal with later?
Well, I mean,
all lighting and all the electrical is messed up.
So
it is a huge electrical issue if there's just beyond lights.
Maybe if there's no outdoor lighting in there, we at least need to make it aesthetically look good. I mean, there's broken light fixtures out there, you know.
Yeah.
Or at least removing all the broken lights and having
a cap or something.
A cap, so later on we can attack it.
Rather than just leaving
we
it.
We'll remove and replace.
Some of those lights work, so we got to get some of them, at least where it doesn't look like, you know, you're in a coal mine. If you can at least, you know, get some, we'll figure it out. We'll keep it in mind. But
solar lights?
Solar lights, well, I can tell you solar lights out there are about $8,000 to $10,000 each.
At some point, though, so
10 of them's 100 grand.
Like, we need to have the discussion for all of it, but I think in that area, we can't leave it the way that it is now. So we either need to remove it and cap it or
make it
look, right? Am I addressing what you're wanting?
We saw that the poles are bent over. Some of them are missing
the light, little light globe thingy on it.
We need to sew.
Yeah, as long as we got a check, we can do everything. There's money, we can do it. But it's the money, and what is the board willing to spend and dip into that goes beyond, you know, what our budget is for Zone 8, because it's always robbing Peter to pay Paul. If you're buying something here, you can't do something there.
Understood, but I think you'll have greater flexibility with the board asking him once than multiple times.
Okay. Well, it's just how big are we going to take this out? And I don't disagree with that. Okay.
So we're going to ask them to cap it? Is that what we're doing for the electrical?
Well, I don't even know this recurring condition. They have to evaluate.
We'll have that.
Okay.
Either cap or replace.
Okay.
Cool. Moving on. 14. Discussion item number two.
Number two. Okay. Late in 2020, the board approved using $168,000 carryover funds to enhance Clipper, Discovery Bay Boulevard, and the Islands on Boulevard. Early in 2021, staff asked the board to hold off on using $100,000 set aside for Clipper while we applied for the Prop 68 competitive grant, of which we'll have a decision in August or September. Of the remaining $68,000, $14,000 was spent to contract TerraCare for landscape cleanup, leaving $54,000 to enhance the boulevard and the two islands. To date, we've spent $42,000 on the boulevard, and there's a remaining $12,000. We'd like to propose that we use those remaining funds to enhance the corners of the boulevard at Seal Way and River Lake, in more of a dryscape theme. You have the attached drawing. Bringing over some schematic concepts and materials that were used on Poe. In addition, there's now a CIP project in next fiscal year's budget to enhance the islands on the boulevard for the amount of $40,000. So again, we want to bring up some more dryscape concepts to give Discovery Bay the same thematic feel. Questions?
So I know that Rec 800 had slowed the process down because they're doing some work on a portion.
Correct.
Do you still need funds for that portion, or are your...
I have the materials minus probably $1,000 to finish.
Okay, so that's not an issue.
What portion is it that they're...
The end of the boulevard?
The end, like where there's, like from Seal Way up?
From by the, I think between Spinnaker and Seal Way.
Okay.
No, between Spinnaker and...
Clipper?
And Clipper.
And Clipper, okay.
Okay, yeah. So that part hasn't been done.
It has not been done yet.
No. Okay.
Most of it. There's just a couple sections that...
But I have materials.
Okay, so...
So it's been purchased.
Yes.
Not end of the world. So this is just a stupid question, but the yellow Ostermom massing, is that the same as the, like, really pretty pink ones that are out there?
It'll be yellow.
But it's the same
concept. Really massive and yellow.
I love the pink ones. I think they're really pretty. I think how it's like grouped the together like that. Nice. I'm not saying it has to be pink, but I like the concept of it. I think that's a good choice.
How far up Seal and how far up River Lake here would you go? Not River Lake, Sandpoint.
So you would take where the fence...
Because
angles.
I believe our area of responsibility is all the way to the end, correct?
On
Seal and on...
Not all the way to the end on Seal. But
we're
another two blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
No, I would stop before we continue down Seal, and I would stop on River Lake 10 feet into.
You understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate we have responsibility that far up.
Yeah.
It's
right?
It's kind of a catch-22.
So would you use this concept on all the other locations? Similar shape, similar to that?
Form, materials.
What's the cost of this?
Yeah, each corner is approximately $5,000.
That's not horrible. How many total corners?
Just the two corners on the boulevard.
Right now? Are we going to expend it? Expend those corners at some point, or no?
Well, we could, like you mentioned, we could continue down Seal at some point, continue down River Lake at some point.
How much more material just to do the tan bark? Is that what it's called? Tan?
So the bark and no plants, $2,000.
To go all the way?
Oh, to go all the way down Seal?
Well, well, Seal meets, you know, where the first intersection is to get to the Cypress Landing there.
I'm sorry. Tan mark for where now? If we turn Seal and go down Seal, no.
If you go
down Seal to the first intersection, I'd say that's probably about 30 yards.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So that just to that intersection would probably be around the $2,600 range.
Just because that is currently our area's responsibility, I would think, and I'm just kind of talking out loud here, it would look funny if we stopped and then not had it continue to where our area of responsibility went to.
I don't disagree with that.
Especially if the money is incremental, and we have to do something special like we did on the boulevard.
Right.
But,
So let me get this straight. So maybe enhance the corner a little bit more, but also continue with the
tamark
that we've used on the boulevard down Seal Way to the first block.
Exactly. And the same thing on Sandpoint.
Sandpoint, that's going to take a little bit more, but I'd say about 5,000.
So we're looking about.
Probably about $7,500 for more bark.
For all of what we just talked about?
For Seal Way and Sandpoint.
So the totality then would be, if I hear you correctly, you need approximately
$12,000.
$15,000 to $20,000 to do the corners and extend it.
Correct.
That's not that bad.
I don't think that's horrible.
Can you run by those numbers again, please, Bill?
15 to 20,000.
No, $10,000 for the corners.
$10,000 for the corners. About $7,500 for the extension on River Lake and Steel.
Together, those two together.
Yeah.
Do we have plans to do that for any time coming up, or were we just going to leave those areas as is?
Yeah, $7,500 would be hard to take out of the current operating budget, so no.
Okay.
I think we need to evaluate what we have in our existing budget to spend and look at what we can do with that existing budget, and if you guys still want to proceed, then we can come back and ask if you want to take it out of Hoffman money, because there is no other money.
Understood. But there is Hoffman money, so I think that...
if that's what the board wants to spend it on, we're happy to spend it.
I don't speak to the whole board, I'm sorry, but I just feel that we started a project, and the totality of the project should be what the project is.
I don't disagree with you.
I'd like to know kind of what you said. What do we have in current budget that could accommodate that, and like how much total money are we asking for? Is it this total amount, or is there some things that we can adjust where the amount is different?
Well, I'll speak briefly on that, is that there is really not any money in our operating budgets for Zone 8 to really do enhancements. Basically, it's maintenance, fertilizing, trimming trees, that thing. Any projects done really need to be done with some other type of funding mechanism.
Okay.
So just for clarification, the $10,000 for the corner would come out of a different, would not come out of maintenance, would come out of
We set aside the money from rollover funds, because last year we were under budget because of COVID, and we had some extra grant money that we in the budget, so that's when we came up with the money. We put the $100,000 aside. Bill still has $10,000-ish to spend, so he has
for the corners.
For the corners, the corners are taken care of.
So okay. Really, we would only need $7,500 to $10,000. I guess that's what I was asking.
And I think, through a finance situate position, that we need to look at Zone 8. It is a little weird year with COVID. See where we're sitting, which we'll have those numbers at the end of the week. Through the end of March, which we'll have 9 members, and let Bill and I talk with Mike and Dina, and then we probably can follow back up to see if we have anything. One of the issues is Bill spent this money, his guys have spent a lot of time in Zone 8, so Zone 8 is paying for the payroll of it. So, you know, we have to take that into consideration too, and we have to see where all the parts fall. And I can't just do that right off the cuff. I want to give you guys an informed, good answer.
No, understood.
So then... So for today's meeting, I guess you're just looking for confirmation on the corner at the way you presented. Are you okay with this? And this
right. That's for the purposes of tonight. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to spend a 10 to finish the corners and move on to the islands once we do the CIP project in the fiscal year?
I personally have no problems with your design. I think it looks great.
I don't either. I'm good with it. I think it looks really good.
Yeah. I believe Ashley had a question regarding...
Oh, I already asked it.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay, good.
It's the same as the pink bunches, which I think...
Similar concept, but you get more bloom time.
But it's beautiful. Like, I just think it's really pretty. Yeah. Not everything has to be pink. I appreciate the yellow as well.
And then going back to the island, so again, I'm sorry. When would that be the next conversation that we'd have about the islands?
So I think the process I'd like to take is that I'd like to come up with a design for the islands and then bring them to a park and rec committee for probably the first one of the fiscal year.
Okay.
Okay.
And move forward that way.
And what's the time frame like? We give you the okay with this. What's the time frame to get the corners done?
I'll have the materials next week probably ordered and 2-3 weeks.
Okay.
Does the board have to approve this, or is this something that the... So this has already been approved by the board-ish?
What I would like to see tonight, maybe, is from the Park and Rec Committee, is that we approved a design for the corners.
Okay.
So when you do your update report, and what we can do is we can hand out the design to the board members so that they can look at it.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the other, so regarding the islands going down the boulevard, that's in a CIP, a proposed CIP budget that the board will approve. So we'll get the money approved, and then we'll come back with the various ideas that we have that we think we can do with that money. So
okay.
It's kind of, it's always looking at how much money do we think we can dedicate to a CIP project without going over budget, and then looking to see what we can do with the money that we approved and dedicated towards something. It's difficult.
Backwards. Kind
of. Clear.
Yeah, awesome.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for thinking outside the box on how to enhance it and stuff. Make it look pretty. Right?
Mm-hmm. Are there any public comments? Hearing none. We encourage the public to call in.
We're nice.
If they want to. Well, then, if there's nothing else, do you have any future agenda items?
Only what we just discussed. Potentially the expansion of River Lake and...
Okay.
Seal.
Yeah.
Well, 6:43, meeting adjourned.